everyone. Welcome back to the St. Mary's Lent podcast. We hope that you've enjoyed the first two episodes and have been able to connect with God through the content that we've shared. We're going to continue with our series on Romans, this time with some new voices in our conversation. As before, please feel free to pause the recording at any point if you would like some time in the quiet to reflect or to pray. And now let's still ourselves as we turn to our scripture reading, focusing on the words that we have had given to us. This is Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts, and through the Holy Spirit, that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were still enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Welcome back to the third episode of our Lent podcast, and our conversation continues looking at Romans. This week we're going to be looking at chapter 5, verses 1 to 11, which we've just read together. So in this conversation, we've got some new voices. I'm here again for anyone that hasn't heard me before. I'm Alison, I'm the ordinand at St. Mary's, and we've also got Andrew with us.
Hey everyone, Andrew, the rector of St. Mary's.
And we've got two new people with us. We've got Tim.
Hi, I'm Tim, and I am a regular member of St. Mary's. I've been going to St. Mary's for about 10 years, and I'm the church warden there at the moment, or one of the church wardens, obviously with Gareth. And that's who I am.
Great to have you with us, Tim. And Susie.
Hi, everyone. I'm Susie, and I'm the Associate Vicar of St. Mary's.
Brilliant. So, as usual, we have coffee. It's a bit of a wet, soggy day outside, so we're just drying out. We've got some questions to work through in our conversation. So the first one we're going to start with is, what practices do you regularly employ to develop your faith, and how do those impact on how you live your life? So in this period of Lent, we are thinking about how we live and what we do on a regular basis that helps us connect more with God. So we're just going to explore that a bit and think about how it connects to what we do on a daily basis throughout the whole of our lives. So I wonder, Susie, could I start with you?
Yeah.
See if you've got any thoughts on this one.
So I do several things to kind of look after my faith on a daily basis. One of the things I do is I put on a worship CD. Okay, not a CD, MP3, let's be honest. It's an album of some description, sometimes a playlist. And I listen to worship music because it helps me engage my singing, because I quite like singing along to the CD, but it just gives me that undercurrent of worship for God during my day-to-day. I listen to worship music in the car driving to work, which often puts me in a good place before I go into school. I work in a secondary school. So starting a good place is always a good place to start the day.
Yeah, so you've kind of got that beginning where you're thinking about worship, you're in that focused position, and you're kind of connecting with God before you then go into the chaos of whatever the day has to hold, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very good. That's helpful.
Yeah.
Andrew, what about you?
Well, I think as we've talked about in some of the previous episodes, I'm a real advocate for finding that daily time, that quiet time. And for me, that needs to have prayer in it, and it needs to have some scripture in it. As I've talked about it, lots of different places, like for me, that being a liturgical resource, something that I can come back to and kind of benefit from the depths of on a daily basis. And more broadly, actually, on a weekly basis, many of you will know we have a midweek communion service. And one of the things for me is actually worshipping with other people. That's a key part of keeping me kind of going and helping me stay growing. So, yeah, we gather together online and in person on a Sunday. But also for me, that Wednesday morning midweek service is a key as well. And it happens right in the middle of the morning when you might kind of go, oh, there's lots of other productive things you could do at that time. But actually, that enforced rhythm of stopping, enjoying 30, 35 minutes of worshipping with others and the community time is a real kind of like little refueling point in the week for me. And we have a great time on a Wednesday, like lots of discussion and a really good gang of people. So there's that community side to it as well.
Yeah, I recently joined the Wednesday service for the first time on Ash Wednesday, and I loved it. It was really great. So if I can get along more often, I will definitely be doing that because it really helped just having that midweek space to spend with God. Tim, what about you?
So I'm one of the get up early crew. So before the house has got
I'm sure we have night owls somewhere in our congregation. They just don't record podcasts.
Yeah, I'm definitely not one of them.
I'm like, I'm a mid-afternoon owl.
Yeah. No, one of the early guys gets up early, goes downstairs, makes a cup of tea, sit with my Bible, sit with a commentary and read half an hour.
Yeah.
And then finish off with prayer, sometimes which feels very distant, sometimes which feels absolutely intimate, but that's just the way prayer goes.
Yeah.
And then during the day, I listen to UCB One, which is like Christian pop, I guess is the way you say it, which I think is brilliant. So I'm in and out of my van and the music's great and the conversations are really, really bring up new aspects of Christianity that you probably hadn't, that I probably hadn't thought of.
Yeah.
So and you can get that like on your phone or digital radio, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I've got an app on my phone, but I've got it in my digital radio in my van. So
perfect.
Works well.
It's so good having that just in the background, right? Because it's just all the time you're listening to it and like little nuggets will come through.
Yeah, and all the presenters are like, you know, full on Christians and they, so that's their kind of vibe and that's what they're trying to do with it. So,
I think mine is similar to Tim and Susie, actually. So this week in particular, I was away on a retreat last weekend and we did a little bit of worship on Saturday evening. And there was a song that kept coming up for people, which is Firm Foundation. I don't know if any of you have heard of it. But the lyrics are, you're my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. And sort of the theory is, or the theme, I suppose, of the song is everything around you might be in chaos, but actually you've got that certainty underneath your feet. And all week that song has just been going round and round in my head and it's been so centering, especially when I've been in difficult situations. You know, this passage talks a lot about challenge. I think sometimes when we're in those challenges and moments of difficulty, and I wouldn't describe my week as being suffering, but there were some difficulties, having that lyric going around in my head was so helpful just to remind me. And I think God often gives us those things at just the right moment when we need them. So I think keeping that worship, that music going is so helpful to kind of get things embedded in your brain. And then they come up at the right time and you really need them. So yeah, I'm definitely with both of you on that.
There is definitely something about worship songs, like any songs, they get stuck in our brain. But actually the thing about worship songs, very often they're rooted in scripture.
Absolutely.
And it reminds us, as you say, it comes up, just pops into your brain the moment that you need it. And it's making space for those things is really good.
Because I think like whenever I went to Sunday school as a child, we'd do memory verses.
Yeah.
And a lot of those things are stuck in my head, but I don't often sit down now and actually try to memorise a verse, to be honest. But those worship songs do stick in my head. And a lot of that is scripture. So you're still achieving the same end, just in a slightly different way. And it does mean you've got that resource, that toolkit to draw on whenever you need to, which is really helpful.
And I've heard people speak similarly. Like, I know several people who grew up on the Book of Common Prayer. And because that was, at a certain point in church history, that was the only thing you had. Not like the variety we have today. And I've heard people speak in similar terms of that becomes so ingrained that it that verses from prayers, and again, most liturgy is just scripture repurposed, can be a really useful kind of toolkit and resource for us.
Because I did, I was in the Girls Brigade as a child, and we had to learn the Girls Brigade prayer. I think we were about six, and like that's still stuck in my head. And it's only recently they've actually understood what it means.
Yeah.
It was one line that was, "Lord, we beseech you." And I, at the time, I had no idea. I thought it was maybe a kind of tree or something. It was like, learn the words and like, you know, get on with what you're supposed to do. But I didn't understand it at all. So yeah, but I still know it, and it does make sense now. So that's great.
But those things, they stick in our mind, and they are the things that we use when things get hard. Actually, we need those things to remind us, going, actually, I might feel like life is getting me down, but I need to remind myself that actually God is in this with me. And those memory verses are there to remind us. But they only remind us if we've got them. Making sure we put them in, even if it feels like we're reading scripture or singing songs and it's like not really feeling it.
Yeah.
It's going in somewhere.
In my worst times of prayer, when I'm feeling really like I'm not making a connection, I'll go straight to the Lord's Prayer and say that. And I might even say it twice. And I know that somewhere I'm finding my way back. And that's a memory verse, right?
Yeah, it is.
Perfect.
Yeah, I would do exactly the same thing, Tim. Because you know that's the thing. Jesus told us that's right, this is what you pray. There's no question marks around that one. Brilliant. Okay, so just moving on to the next question then. So we've spoken a bit about things that we've got in our lives and the difference they make to our lives. Just thinking about anything new that we've taken up in this Lenten period and how it's impacting on our faith. So really trying to draw the connection between the activities that we might have lifted and be doing now that we weren't before, and how that's actually making a difference to our faith. So not just what we're doing, but how it's making a change for each of us. So Andrew, I don't know if you've got anything. You might not have anything you picked up, actually.
I mean, one of the things, we have a kind of a regular, irregular home group. We get together kind of each term. So we're not like every week, but we get together. And so in Lent, we are reading John Mark Comer's new book, Practicing the Way, which is just packed full of really pragmatic stuff about how we follow Jesus. And I think the discipline for me is the studying it as a group and actually being on that journey together, because one of the joys is being able to not only enjoy the book and its contents, but actually to sit with everyone else and go, oh, you know, what stood out for you, and hearing what other people are getting from it and what other people are trying. And then that can sometimes be the thing that encourages me to kind of do things from the content, as other people have seen it slightly differently. Or you know, we've just been reading a chapter about this idea that the first thing Jesus wants us to do is to be with him. This idea of gazing upon him. And actually, I was just deeply encouraged by the different ways in which our group do that, that made me think, oh, well, how else could I do that? How else might that look for me? You know, what are some of the other things? So I find myself consciously then, he talked about in the book about how we could potentially fill our lives with noticing his presence. And so I've been a lot more conscious of going, actually, when I find myself picking up my phone, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to just take a little moment and try and turn that to prayer instead. So, yeah, but that came from us sharing it as a group.
Yeah.
And other people going, yeah, that sounds like it. I'd like to do that. So that's what I've been trying to do.
Yeah. So kind of spending time with others and picking up on what they're saying and kind of reflecting on that.
Yeah. So not just, we enjoy each other's company for the sake of it as well. But actually the joy is that we're intentionally getting together because we all want to grow.
Yeah.
Like, and we're there to encourage one another in it. And that's why I get a lot from that.
Yeah, agree. Tim, what about you? Is there anything that you've picked up?
So I have been reading a book as part of my Lent discipline, if you like, by Jared Brooke called a god named Josh. And it's the author's looking into the facts and the stuff that surround Jesus's life, you know, like who were the Romans in that time, and what was their reason for being in Jerusalem, and who were the disciples, and you know, what was the genealogy and all that sort of stuff. What was Jesus's real name?
Yeah.
You know, because it wasn't Jesus.
Yeah.
And what was his surname? You know, because it was Ben Joseph, or Ben Yosef, as it would have been. So that's been a fantastic read for me. And I've picked up something from Andrew's sermon. I think it was.
I'll take credit.
Could have been Helen. She does a good sermon.
It's true.
Where just confession of doubt in prayer. You know, really looking for that kind of confession of doubt in prayer and seeing with that. And that sits nicely with the book, actually.
Yeah.
You know, because the book's talking about this is real. These are the people. These are the facts. So that's been the two disciplines of taking up.
It sounds like a really good read, because it's all based in kind of the real world reality of
why
Jesus would have lived, which we perhaps don't consider often enough.
It's a good book.
Okay.
I would recommend
good recommendation.
Nice good writing.
Are there pictures?
No pictures.
Disappointing.
Although there is a Bible in Menga, isn't there, the Japanese cartoon.
Okay. That's true.
Yeah. Oh, there is.
I haven't seen that, but I'll investigate.
I'll lend you my copy.
Susie,
I've been trying on doing something that I have been doing for a time, but actually trying to make it more regular, of doing morning and evening prayer. I'm part of a new monastic community, and we have set prayers that we use during the week. And I was using them this week on Thursday. I'm not great at doing things every day. That sort of rhythm I find a real challenge. But when I was doing it on Thursday, I was reading it, and it really challenged me on, it was around confession and sort of saying sorry to God about the fact I hadn't Sabbathed, that I hadn't rested in him. And it was a real challenge to me, and to think about the need to rest well. But I find the doing of morning and evening prayer, it kind of sits with that, the beginning of Romans 5, of since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God. And when I sit in doing those liturgical prayers, I have a real sense of being at peace with God. And it doesn't matter what I say or what I do, because actually God knows me already, and he kind of knows the reaction I might have to certain situations. So like when I was reading these prayers on Thursday morning, and there was this challenge about rest, he knew that was what I needed to hear on Thursday morning, which did result in me having a duvet day. But just the need to be.
Yeah. And it's interesting how often that happens, that, you know, I get emails with like devotionals and prayers on a daily basis. And some days I'll read it and think, oh, that's helpful and interesting, but then I sort of set it aside. But another day you read it and it's absolutely, in that moment, you know, God has given you that for that day, and there's something specific in there that you need to do with it. And it sounds like that's what happened to you on Thursday.
It most definitely did. And it was definitely what I needed. And sometimes it's, even though you're kind of going, I feel like this is the right thing I should be doing, sometimes God giving you that little nudge, the Holy Spirit nudge to go, yes, you are going to do this.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. It just pushes you over the line, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, it's back to that first question, though. I've got to give a shout out for the word for today, because I know within the St. Mary's community there's a whole group of people who read the word for today every day. And sometimes it's a bit like Paul. But other days, it can hit you right to the heart. So,
to be honest, that's the one I find it happens most often with. Honestly, it's so helpful. Yeah. So helpful. Yeah. I think...
copies at the back of the church, thanks to Pam Douglas.
Or sign up online. Either way, you can access it one way or another.
Yeah.
I think for me, I've stopped watching TV for Lent. So that's one thing that I've set down. But as a sort of balance of that, I've started to read more. And I do really love reading. And I've just found, since I started studying, a lot of what I'm reading is theological textbooks, Which is fine, but it's not. I wouldn't say it was a light reading. It's not sort of fair, you know, bedtime reading. And I think it's sort of distracted me a bit from some of the joy that I have in reading. Mm. And it's been really helpful to have the group that Andrew mentioned and be reading the John Mark Comer book. I've also noticed as well, Andrew, could you pass me a copy? There's a couple just sitting very close to us. And on the front of it, if you've seen it, it says, practicing the way, be with Jesus, become like him, do as he did. And I've noticed when I've been reading it on the tube, I've seen people looking at it and being like, oh, that's interesting. And I kind of feel like it's just the right thing at that time that, you know, it, even if someone just notices it and maybe Googles it or thinks about, oh, I haven't been to church for ages or something, it's just might be a little prompt for them as well. So I feel like it's helped me, well, re-engage with reading and kind of connecting with God in that way. But also I think it's reminded me that some of how we live out our faith doesn't always need to be spoken, but actually just by doing what you're doing, wherever you are, people can see Jesus at work as well. So hopefully a few of those people have done something about that as a result of seeing that book. So the next question we got is just about thinking in terms of community and fellowship. Have we ever taken up something as part of a group, done something together, and whether or not that was different to us doing it alone? Because some of the, you know, the choices we make about practices we take up can be individual. Some of them could be potentially part of a family decision, could be a group of friends, could be something you're doing as part of a church, or even more widely across the church. And it would just be really interesting to explore how that works and how that has been for any of us here. So, Tim, I wonder if I could ask you about this one. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I have been in quite a few home groups. I was in a home group with Nigel Clark up at St. Christopher's. That was really good. And you feel really close to people. And I've been in Mark Kostick's home group for a while. That was a good journey with some lovely fellows, girls and boys. And but at the moment, I'm not in a home group. But what the question does strike to me was being part of Messy Church when we were running Messy Church. Mm. That was a really great experience, you know, because that was sharing. So there's a bit of mission in there and it was eating, which is always good. Maria was always getting involved in the kitchen. That's Maria, my wife. And it was something that's very warming in the heart.
So you're kind of serving together, feeling like you're part of a team,
that's
and
right,
able to
yeah.
connect with others and have those conversations.
Yeah. I'm not doing Winter Night Shelter, or I'm doing one soup for Winter Night Shelter, but Winter Night Shelter is another community where you would get that food again. There's this theme here.
It's another bad thing.
Well, you would say that, yeah. No, but it's a lovely community where you get to have a kind of a spiritual feeling. I don't know if that's quite the right word, but it's a spiritual engagement. Yeah. How's that goes, yeah.
Very good. Yeah. I did one shift at the night shelter this year. It's the first time I've been involved in this one, and it was great. I just find it was such a fantastic space to connect with the guests, but also with the other team members and actually have time and space to spend with them, but also be serving at the same time. So sometimes I think when we're in a team, it can all feel quite harried and rushed, depending on what it is we're doing. Mm. But actually it felt much more relaxed, I guess, and there was space and time, which was brilliant. So yeah, shout out to the Night Shelter team. Thanks for everything you've done. I think about doing it next year.
Oh, welcome team as well. I'm part of the welcome team, yeah. Anybody wants to join the welcome team? It's a good place to be.
Susie, what about you on this one?
I was thinking, what have I done? So one thing I've done recently is following a Bible plan with a group of women from church. And it actually was a bit of accountability between me and the other women. We were using the Bible app, and you can kind of share with each other each day what you feel God is saying through the Bible readings. And the thing is, I was getting the notification when the other people have done their reading before or I have that day. It's a little reminder. But it's also really encouraging to hear from each other what you feel God's saying to each other. And we kind of had done this Bible plan. And then it was the same women that I'd done the Bible plan with that I then went to a conference with. And it's all that thing of journeying together, doing life together. And then you sort of spent spending time together, both digitally and face-to-face, meant that, A, the relationships with each other grew stronger, but we were also journeying with God together. It was that, coming back to John Mark Comer, it was being with Jesus with others. It feels there is something about being with other people in your journey of faith which makes it easier to do.
Yeah, I agree. So some of the experiences you're having, challenges, celebrations, others are experiencing similarly, and you can connect with them about that and discuss them. And I think you gain a lot from some of those interactions. So, I agree with all of that.
Yeah.
Andrew?
I think I'd really just echo everything that's been said. I think, you know, being part of a smaller group of people, whether it's a team, whether it's a home group or a Bible study on your phone, whatever it is, I think those things are really where a lot of, like, Christian life works together. And certainly, like, as you know, those of you who've been around St. Mary's will know, we've experienced a lot of growth. And we've kind of transitioned from being a church where perhaps you could know everyone or something about it to actually having to be a lot more intentional about it. And so, you know, if you're thinking, oh, gosh, how do I get to know people? Well, I always say to people, look, the people I know best are the people I serve with. The people I've been on numerous teams with, that's some of the, for me, like, weekly stuff to do with our services, our leadership team, but also then, you know, things like we've mentioned, Night Shelter, Alpha, courses that we've run. When you do those things with other people, it's where you really get to build relationships. And I just sort of, just echo everything that everyone said, really. It's going, if you want to find that, it's community is the kind of connective thread of it all. And I think it's, you just have to look a little bit harder for it. But sometimes we've got to very intentionally put ourselves in that place. You know, we kind of try and do lots of events to give people that chance to get to know one another. But it's really in those intentional smaller groups where you're going to make that difference in each other's lives and journey together a bit more.
Yeah. I would, reiterate all that we've heard so far. So I won't go over that ground again. I guess one additional thing I would say is that when I was looking at this passage, I was just really struck by how many times there's reference to, like, we and us. And are. So this isn't Paul talking about himself and his faith, but it's actually a collective. And I think there's something really powerful in knowing that we're part of a huge number of people around the world who all have a faith, who are following Jesus. And there's one, I don't know if any of you have ever engaged with this, but there's an initiative, Thy Kingdom Come, just in the lead up to Pentecost, where there's a kind of international movement towards praying, and there's a 10-day period when there's kind of a call to prayer from the Archbishop of Canterbury, and some ideas about how you can pray. And the idea is that Christians around the world are all praying together for the same thing at the same time. And there's something really powerful in that. And although a lot of the engagement is online, which isn't the same, it's not the same as a home group or anything like that, it's different, but I find it really amazing, really, that there's connections being made with people in Brazil and Australia, and, you know, they're praying at the same time that we are, and people are sharing their stories about what's happened as a result of that prayer time. So I would definitely recommend, if you haven't been part of that before, sign up and get involved. Really, really exciting. Okay, so we're coming on to our final question. So this is just thinking about, in terms of the practices that we undertake, have we seen any changes in our character or how we approach situations that we might see a connection? And, you know, this is partly just thinking about this passage. Paul's really pointing out about how suffering, difficulty, challenge produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. Just trying to tie all of this back to that. So are these different practices changing us in any way? Are we seeing that? Sometimes it's hard to see it in yourself. Others might feedback differently. But it would just be interesting to hear from the group if anyone has experienced any of that in the past. Andrew, do you want to go?
Yeah, and perhaps just to sort of add to the thing about Paul here is that we're not sort of necessarily advocating that you must suffer in order to grow.
No.
Other than it is a place in which often we see a lot of growth. But actually, our Lent practices and disciplines are supposed to be a little bit challenging and difficult. I think I said in a talk a few weeks back, that's a good litmus test of whether you've chosen a good spiritual discipline. Is it at least a little bit uncomfortable? Is it pushing you out of your comfort zone? Not to make you suffer per se, but in that act of self-denial or having to make room, that's often a space in which God works. And I was just sort of thinking back, and we do know that it can be seen when we look back, and there have been times where, you know, I just think of the pandemic, and I remember being so sick at the beginning of it when we caught COVID right back at the beginning. I had like 3-4 months where I could barely do more than a couple of days worth of work. But it was, you know, I've grown a lot, not because I, you know, God didn't put me through that, but it made me really reliant on him. And it was, you know, all the rest of the stuff of this passage about Christ dying for us and knowing that that makes all things possible. That was the hope that I could hold on to, of going, no, Jesus has conquered evil and death. You know, pandemic is small potatoes compared to that for Jesus. And that I need to hold on to that hope that he gives me. And I remember we were watching, I think it was Spring Harvest at home, because like everyone, they pivoted everything. And I remember God just really powerfully promising to pull me through this. And through that whole period, I mean, I grew an enormous amount. Again, not because God went, Andrew, you should be really sick, because I'd love to see you grow as a leader. But actually, it's acknowledging, you know, we've been talking about a little bit about John Mark Comer, but that transformation of character and growth comes when we spend time in God's presence. And anything we do that puts us more in that presence is going to be a good thing, whether it's a self-inflicted bit of suffering in inverted commas through Lent. I think that's why I always say to people, like, choose a spiritual discipline that's going to work on the area of your life you want to shift. Because if you give up chocolate and chocolate isn't your problem, then it's not really going to do anything for you, unfortunately. Sorry. Other than, you know, it might save you a couple of quid. I just kind of echo, I think we will, you know, we do change in our character when we engage in these things. But equally, it's Jesus that does the changing, not us. I mean, that's the, you know, we're talking about being justified by faith, and there's a whole debate about what that means in the New Testament. And you can interpret the Greek in different ways. But it's important to know it's not just about, you're not changed because you believe in Jesus. It's at least as much because we're justified because Jesus has faith in us and faith in himself and his own capacity to make that difference. So there we go. I've rubbered it on.
No, that's really helpful. Really, really helpful. Thanks, Andrew. Tim, what about you?
Yes, it's kind of a question that you'd have to ask my wife. but I know that, so I've been probably reading the Bible like every morning for about 5 years, maybe a bit more. And I know now that if I don't read the Bible, which is rarely happens, I feel a little bit amiss by the afternoon. And I know that when I do read the Bible, when I start my day, even though the news can be a little bit grim, I do have a certain kind of reliance on, in the joy and the peace and that kind of stuff that's there in the Bible. So that's definitely what I would say I noticed about it myself. I think the other is kind of the opposite to what Susie was saying about community. So in the furnace of driving a car, when we're not community, when we are surrounded by metal, when we're on our own, that's where I would say I recognise the difference that it has in my life, because the drive to get there on your own and to have your way, and then to be very unforgiving of other people because they're trying to get, and they're, you know, it really is the cauldron, isn't it, where that kind of stuff comes up. So, and I know that I'm developing, and I will have to continue to develop a much more forgiving attitude to other people on the road.
Isn't that funny that, like, that's a place where God's speaking to you? There's absolutely the moment driving. When you're being tested, right?
That's right. Yeah, you know, I'm sure.
I love it. Susie?
In one sense, very similarly, not in my car, but the place I was really aware was when the girls were born, I kept praying for patience with the girls. And the thing God drew me to was to use a particular practice called the examine, which was just a way of reflecting through the day, seeing where God had been at work and seeing where I needed God's help tomorrow. And the thing I found through doing that was I was praying for patience. And the challenge with praying for patience is I found myself in situations constantly where I needed to be patient. And I find very similar to Tim of that when I don't spend time with God and do those things, it's really noticeable in my day. When I start my day, particularly when I'm at work and I notice it, if I haven't spent time in stillness and with God, and then I try and do my day in my own strength and my own abilities, I will find the day really hard. But if I've spent time with God, actually, it's a little bit easier because I'm not doing it on my own. And in those moments where things get really stressful and actually I do need a bit of patience, if I just, even if I've clocked it like a second before and I've taken a breath, it's going, oh, actually, I'm doing this with God. I'm then not going to fly off the handle or something.
It's so important that you can always pull it back, because the temptation is to just beat yourself up the rest of that day and go, well, I didn't do, so therefore. And actually, I think, you know, just as you're saying, Suze, like when we notice those moments, sometimes when it's all busy and you're going, oh, I can't do this, I don't know where to start, actually, that's a really good sign to go, actually, we just need to recenter ourselves on Jesus, to go, I'm going to stop, I'm going to take a couple of minutes to pray, to breathe, I'm going to clear my head a little bit. And it's incredible, that difference. And I'm just really struck hearing all of you saying how, and I've had that experience, you really feel it. Once you've got into this habit of spending time with Jesus and gazing upon him, to use John Mark Comer's language, every day, you start to notice it when you don't. And the key, I think the key is, if you miss it, like, don't worry, you can bring it back. Yeah. You can always, you know, he's on tap in a beautiful way.
You can go for a booster in the middle of the day.
Totally, totally. Yeah, it's like morning, noon and night if you need it. But actually, and that's, like, we should encourage one another to do that. To go, actually, it's not just about cultivating a set rhythm. It's about going, this is, you know, if we want to see that sustained change in us that Jesus's love brings, it's about learning to recenter on him constantly and doing that more and weaving it into the everyday.
I agree with all that's been said, and I do think there is a definite temptation that as much as we're trying in our own strength to do these things, sometimes it feels like we miss the opportunity and we feel like we've blown it, and then it's really easy to kind of shrink back into ourselves and just think, oh, I'm never going to be able to do this. And actually that's not the right approach. I think in those moments, it's turning back to Jesus and actually trying to regain that connection and just spend that time with him in that moment makes such a difference, because similar to Susie, patience is not my strong suit. And it's something I've struggled with my whole life. And I think particularly on the commute, similar to Tim, but on the tube, honestly, if people kind of like, you know, bash into you on the escalator or whatever, it just drives me absolutely mad. But it's definitely, I notice the difference if I've been kind of centered, spent time with God, the way I react to that is different, and it's actually easier on me. I think the other thing I would say is that in the past there have definitely been occasions when God has prompted me to do something and I felt that I wasn't able, and actually just recognizing that I'm not doing these things in myself, but he's doing it and he's with me in it. And remembering that, I think, is something that I've had to come back to again and again and again. And partly that is supported by some of these practices. So spending time in scripture and seeing people in the Bible who didn't feel they could. There's lots and lots of examples of that, that, you know, Moses didn't feel that he wanted to step out, but God made a way for him to do that. And it's just making sure that you've seen those examples and you're learning from them and dwelling on them, and it's made a real difference to me. So it's been really helpful. So we've come to the end of our questions. I hope you find it really helpful, and perhaps this has given you an opportunity to reflect on the passage yourself. If there's anything that you think you want to spend a bit of time thinking about, do feel free to pause the podcast and spend some time praying, spend some time with God, and then come back to it later. Don't feel you've got to rush through the whole thing. But we're really glad that you've joined us for this conversation, and we're now going to move into a time of reflection and prayer before we finish the session. Now that we've heard our reading and had our conversation, we take some time to reflect on everything that we've listened to. In our passage, we read that God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus took the burden of all that we have done wrong, those things that made humans his enemies, as Paul describes it in this passage, and suffered for us in our place so that we could live and be in relationship with him. Now, this doesn't mean that because we're Christians and we have faith, we aren't going to experience any hardship. In the everyday, we do experience suffering, pain, challenge, and struggle. The difference is that as Christians, we know that God is with us and he will walk alongside us through whatever journey we're on. And knowing the suffering that Jesus bore on our behalf, Paul encourages us to have joy in our suffering. Suffering produces enduring patience, which in turn produces a depth of character that has been tried and tested, which in turn produces hope. Because the love of God has been poured into our hearts, filling us with this hope. God demonstrates his love for us by dying when we were still sinners. Travelling through these times of challenge is part of our Christian vocation. As people who follow Jesus, we are living in between times. The old covenant under the law is past, but the fulfillment of our hope when Jesus will return and the world will be renewed, is not yet here. We choose to love God, even in these moments of challenge, and take joy in the development of our characters and our faith. Listening to this recording, you might be in the midst of something difficult. Ill health, making ends meet, broken relationships, caring for family members, stress at work, or a host of other things that you have in your mind. If you are in a circumstance like this, it's important to note that the suggestion is not that your struggles are being minimized or ignored. In fact, it's the opposite. Paul is recognizing that the struggles of life are tough, and the impact of our suffering is significant, such that it results in a change in our character, as he explains. He is also saying that woven in with all the difficulty is a recognition that in walking these troubled paths, we are following Jesus in his suffering, and we should take joy in this knowledge and look forward to the hope that he has for us. The way in which we live our everyday lives and walk through the ups and downs, the mountains and valleys, the ecstasies and doldrums, is partly driven by the daily routines that we have in place to keep us hooked in with Jesus. How are we making sure that we are connecting with God and remembering the hope he has given us each day? Perhaps pause the recording and take a moment now to reflect on how you approach this ongoing relationship with God and where there might be opportunities to consider new or different ways to spend time with him. Where are the anchor points in your day or week when you come back to focus on the refreshing love and hope that Jesus has for us? If you're in a time of struggle or suffering, turn to God and lean on him. His shoulders are broad and his compassion never fails. Although the challenge ahead of you may seem overwhelming, nothing is too much for him. He is with you and he will help and strengthen you. We have hope and peace with God by his grace and by the gift he has given us. We have access to him. We are God's people, and as he suffered, we also recognize that we suffer too. We pick up our cross and bear it each day. And in doing that, we look forward to the hope that is promised, when the earth will be full of the glory of God and suffering will be no more. And now we take some time to respond in prayer. We come before God. Lord, you know our struggles. You came to earth as one of us and experienced what it is to be human. You know every person listening to this prayer and understand any burdens that any of us are carrying. Jesus, please wrap us in your arms of love. Remind us that your yoke is easy and your burden is light. We cast our cares onto you, knowing that you are a good God and your compassion never fails. Give us wisdom to see in this Lenten season where our characters are being shaped and how we can connect with you so we know you more each day. Grant us the joy and peace that can come only from you. In Jesus' name, Amen. We've reached the end of our third episode of this Lent podcast series. Thank you so much for listening. Each week, the team pray for every listener that we would all be able to find times and opportunities to draw even closer with God in this Lenten season. We ask that God would bless all of you as you continue your Lenten walk with him. We hope that you'll join us again for the fourth and final episode of this podcast, which will be released soon. As always, if you would like to find out more about St. Mary's, please do have a look on the website or join us for one of our Sunday morning services.